Good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to our May 16th, 2019 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. We did already, we had an executive session before, so at this point, if everybody would stand up and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. So tonight, we are honored to be recognizing our retirees for the 2018-19 school year. And we have two of our retirees here tonight, but before we get to them, I would just like to read through the names of the other retirees who are not able to be here tonight. So the first one, Morgan Mathis. He's currently a custodian at Creekview. Mike White, our director of business services since 2003. Rich Holliday, one of our bus drivers since 2012. And I believe he taught before that in our district. Darlene McChesney, who's a fifth and sixth grade teacher. She also is at Edgewood and taught some of my children. Jody Cunningham, a teacher at Edgewood since 1987. Teresa Weichsel, she started her career with Marysville in 1985, and she's been at Creekview. Mary Davis joined our district in 2001, and she's been in a variety of, well, she was at Creekview and now most recently at Bunsold. Beth Fulmer, teacher at Bunsold, been with the district since 1997. Jean Karras, she's been also with the district since 1997. And again, I have some personal connections with her, great teacher. And so now we'll come to the part where we have two of our retirees with us tonight. I'm going to start with Tammy Farmer. So come on up here, Tammy. And I don't have a lot to read about you, but I do want everybody to see you. Yes, so Tammy's been in the district in the food service department since 2000. She's worked in various buildings throughout the district during the past 19 years, and we so appreciate all your service to our district. And I know the kids are going to miss you, the other your coworkers are going to miss you, and we're going to miss you, but we wish you the best.
Well, thank you very much.
Judy started her teaching career with us in 1981. She retired back in 2015, and she's been with us on a half-time basis since then. She's been an elementary teacher for many years, and most recently has been a reading specialist at Raymond Elementary. And she was also recognized this year. Can't remember what the name of the award was.
Well, you received
several awards.
Yes,
yes.
Dollar General Teacher of the Year. Mm-hmm. You received the American Legion Teacher of the Year as well. So, yes. All very deserving.
I know. Thank you so much. Right, we know they both have some great things planned for their retirement, and we wish you the best. Thank you. Next up, I would accept a motion to adopt our agenda.
Second.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes. Motion carries. Next on our agenda. We have an employee of the month who's not able to be here, but I know we still like to read a little bit about them.
You may go ahead and do that.
Sure, yep.
This month's employee of the month is Morgan Mathis, who's also on the retirement list, who is a first shift custodian at Creekview. Morgan is a fantastic member of our team. He is always there if you need something and is so deserving of this recognition. He not only keeps up with us overwhelming amount of work, but consistently helps, easy for me to say tonight, consistently helps his coworkers. works towards keeping our Creekview students safe and assists with tasks that are all beyond his call of duty. He is such an asset to the operation and consistency of our building. We appreciate him, his dedication, and he will be greatly missed in his retirement. So congratulations to Morgan.
And we do need that. After hearing that, can I have a motion to approve him as the Employee of the Month?
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers. And roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And I know from visits to Creekview over the past couple years, I just know how much Mr. Canale and the rest of the staff appreciates everything that Morgan does there. So thank you, Morgan. Next up, and I forgot to thank you for hosting us tonight, Mrs. Lentz, but you're going to have a presentation, and I think you're going to recognize. Are you going to recognize it? Okay. Go for it.
Great. Yeah, we'll start with the community partner.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thank you. So we have had a wonderful community partner this year. I would like to recognize the Mental Health and Recovery Board of Union County, and in particular, our PACS partners, Kim Kinsey, Debbie Myers, Carmen Irving, Catherine Tumino. They have just been, oh my goodness, wonderful partners to work with as we implemented the PACS program this year, building-wide. So I don't know if you all want to come up.
Oh, sure.
Come on up.
All of our come here. Up, up, up.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But I would love to have... Do you mind? I'll go to do it. Thanks.
Go ahead and do it, though.
I know, right?
All right.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. We couldn't have done it without their support. That's actually going to be my presentation tonight, so I won't give you any spoilers yet. No.
Okay.
But they've definitely been a great asset to our building. So thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Carmen, come on over
come
here,
on
folks.
On.
Yeah, Mrs. Kinsey.
Oh, there we
would like to shake your hands, too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
It means a lot. Thank you so much. Thanks, Debbie.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So it just so happens that on my way back to my chair, I'm in front of the room. So I want to hijack the moment and say this morning it was our honor to recognize Carol Lentz for all the work that she's done in really championing PACS here in Raymond. So actually this morning we were able to trick Carol into our
yes.
board meeting and offer her the Golden Harmonica Award. So yes, I think I owe Mark Gallagher for that too. He's like, come and talk. You only have to talk 5 to 10 minutes. I said, I wouldn't have yammered on. It's like, yeah. But no, it was very nice and definitely a surprise, but thank you very much. I appreciated that honor for sure. And now I have a golden harmonica.
All right.
You guys are jealous. I know. It's pretty cool. It is cool.
Okay.
So, yeah, thank you so much for coming tonight. Let me go ahead and get. So I just wanted to start by sharing our two of the building goals that we focused on for this school year. The first one, we were committed to deepening our understanding of the mastery learning cycle. But the second one is the one that I wanted to share tonight. And this goal, we were committed to implementing the PACS Good Behavior Game and providing a nurturing environment where students have a voice in promoting the desired culture and desirable behaviors while increasing their stamina for on-task behaviors and self-regulation. Woo, that was a lot, right? It took us a while to kind of break all that down, but we've worked on that, you know, across the school year this year, and definitely with the help and the support of our PACS partners. The first thing that I wanted to do was just kind of share a little video just to kind of give you an overview of what PACS is and what it looks like, and also just to kind of give you an understanding of how it's tying into our habits of mind. I know sometimes there's maybe a misconception that you know, this is one more thing and it's an additional piece. And while it is, it still fits in together very nicely with what we're doing with our habits of mind and our personalized learning. It's serving as that tier one program for our entire building. So I'm just going to go ahead and share the video.
Raymond Showcase 2018. The driving question that Raymond chose to focus on was, how are we developing wider world skills and dispositions among our learners? How do we know? Last year at Raymond, one of the areas of focus was for us to think about and agree upon the habits of mind we would commit to developing in our students during their tenure with us. We created posters as a reminder of these important habits and to keep them in the forefront for our students. We are working on making sure that this goes beyond posters on the wall this year, and this has to become a part of our school culture. To help with this, we spent time deepening our understanding as we worked in grade level teams to create a gradient of accountability. We made commitments for what we'll be doing at a minimum at each grade level to intentionally create opportunities for students to deepen their understanding and apply these habits of mind. We also created ROAR Awards to help highlight and celebrate when our students are demonstrating one of our habits. This year, in addition, Raymond has also joined Edgewood in moving to a building-wide implementation of PACS. Teachers participated in a day-long training session in May. They learned that PACS teaches children to self-regulate, to work together for common goals, and to focus on a positive future that they co-create with others. PACS also helps strengthen core cognitive, emotional, and behavioral skills required for peaceful, productive, healthy, and happy lives. We're creating this universal understanding and common language, which also promotes alignment for both students and staff. We started the year by introducing 10 evidence-based kernels. One of the first kernels that we developed was developing a class vision. Students were introduced to PACS, behaviors that we want to see more of, and SLEAMS, things we want to see less of. By developing an understanding of what PACS and SLEAMS are, students learn self-regulation. Using PACS and SLEAMS, it helps students instantly generalize what they need to do in these new situations. Students are also rewarded and reinforced for their individual and collective efforts. Dopamine is released when children win an intrinsically reinforcing Grammy's Wacky Prize. This inspires the desire to learn more self-regulation for the purposes of PACS. Students can win prizes that are simple but motivating, like making a train as they go to lunch, or even playing the air guitar. You can see they have a lot of fun, and even the teachers get into it. Students also enjoy writing toodles to their teachers and classmates, which reinforce the desired positive behaviors. All of this culminates in the playing of a good behavior game. Putting the kernels all together into these brief games helps develop self-regulation. We are so appreciative of our PACS partners at the Mental Health and Recovery Board of Union County. They come in and support teachers by observing, offering feedback, and also providing resources to keep our momentum going. They also supported our families by teaching the Kernels for Life program, which is the parent component to PACS. We are excited to keep bridging between home and school, and excited for where PACS will take our Raymond learners.
So that kind of
gave you an overview of PAX. And I do have to say, again, we couldn't have done this without our partners. Coming in, they provided professional development, met with the teachers individually, also, you know, meeting with them one-on-one, just dropping in to say, you know, how are things going? And we did this actually about 4 years ago. We trained our primary team, but I feel like with it going building-wide, it's just had an even greater impact. Our kids are hearing the same language, you know, in the cafeteria, in the hallway, with the Unified Arts teachers. So they're hearing the same language across the building, and that's made a huge difference. The Kernels for Life, which now are called PAX Tools, the parent component was absolutely amazing. Catherine did a fabulous job. My parents are still talking about that. One of the best PD sessions or, you know, informational sessions that they've been to. So I think just bringing that home-to-school connection as well has been really powerful. In addition to that, though, the teachers, they still say, well, but what about this kid? You know, what about this kid? Things aren't, you know, this is great, but I still have, you know, students that maybe need some extra support. And we talk about that. You know, just like we provide intervention for reading, for math, you know, we might need to provide some additional intervention or additional supports for some of our kids in the behavior and the social needs. So we're definitely thinking and moving towards providing some of that tier two support, again, for some of those kids that need that extra. One little guy, my little guy on the end, actually we had him on a PAX behavior plan. So he had his own individual PAX vision, and then he could circle, you know, different components. How did he do on his goals? And but they all tied together. Again, it's the same language that he's hearing in the classroom, but he has his own personalized PAX vision. My little guy in the middle, he's one of my friends, and I love him dearly. Completely upset with the teacher because she wasn't letting them go out to recess soon enough. So we brought him in, and, you know, he was having a little bit of trouble, but I said, so talk to me about this. You know, what can we do to make sure that you get outside on time? You know, what do we want to see more of? What do we want to hear more of? What do I want to see you doing? And so I pulled out my vision board, and he's like, oh, yeah, my mom's got one of those here. And he just starts, I told this to the mental, the board this morning, and he just starts writing away. I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. His mom had been to the Kernels for Life. And then, so we went through it all. We figured out what the plan was for the next day, and he was okay for that day. So it's just, I think, again, you know, personalizing, what does that particular child need? One of the other things that was amazing, I think, for our staff, Catherine came in and did a session on consequences and amends. And I do think there's a kind of a misconception out there that in PACS, you know, there are no consequences. It's all positives and, you know, life is a bowl of cherries. And it is, but, you know, again, kids have to have consequences sometimes. And she very eloquently discussed the difference between punishment and consequences and how we can give natural consequences. I had a little guy that was kind of making a little bit of a mess in the bathroom, figured out who it was. We called the family, called the mom, so supportive. And we came up with a consequence. He worked with our custodian for an entire week during his recess time, and he helped him. He emptied trash, you know, put gloves on, of course, and I had the parent permission. But he just, it was probably after like 4 days, and Joe said, can I give him Friday off? He's really done a great job. I said, no problem. I said, but I want you to tell him that. Yeah. You know, tell him what a great job he was and how, and Joe would. Mr. Crozier's awesome. He told him, you know, what a great job he had been doing. He was so proud of him. But I think, you know, that connection for that little boy to realize somebody has to clean up that mess that I make. You know, I think that really hit home for him we haven't had an issue since with him. So again, it's just finding what works for those individual kids. Making amends, you know. I think that one for me has been, as a principal, you know, I can keep him in at recess and, you know, but it's not fixing the problem, you know. Mm-hmm. And we had already dabbled in some, you know, come and help me do a job. Let's go down and we'll get some reams of paper. I need to fill this up. Or come help me water the flowers. That's actually why I got the plants outside, because, you know, I can have a helper that's going to help me water the plants. So those kids, they may have some troubles or have a consequence, but then we make amends. How are you going to make this right? You know, and sometimes they have an idea, but sometimes, you know, I have an idea. Well, I have a job that you can help me do. And then when they're done with that job, it's just amazing. They're pumped up. They're feeling good about themselves, which, you know, for some of those kids, you know, they do have a lot of, you know, sometimes a lot of negative. And we have to turn that around for them. We have to give them hope so they can go back to their classroom and feel like, you know what, I really helped Mrs. Lentz today, and I'm going back to the classroom on a positive note. So the consequences and amends has definitely been a great thing for our kids. The one little guy, he made a poster, and it says, "Your words matter." Do you know what he came to talk to me about? Can you figure that one? Yeah, using some language that maybe we just shouldn't have been saying. So he made posters for the hallway. "Your words matter," and he was proud of himself. Mm-hmm. And he made two. He said, "Can I make another one?" I said, "Absolutely, let's make another one." And then we hung it up in the hall, and I said, "You know what? Now everybody's going to know that your words matter, right? Because our words do matter. When we say things that are unkind to our friends, that hurts." So he was making it better. So again, just some of those tier two supports. In addition, we've also had some training on PAX Heroes. And again, this will get into, we'll do more with all of this next year. But there are PAX Heroes that maybe have some of these characteristics. We do have those kids, a rigid rhino, we call it. The rhino is kind of that inflexible, rigid, rule-bound kid. But you know what? Those kids, they thrive with those PAX sticks because that's fair. You know, if you're pulling names out, the teacher isn't just, you know, "Well, you never pick, you know, you never call on me. It's not fair." There's, you know, it's just the sticks. I can't help it, you know. Maybe your name will be called next. So it's really getting in and figuring out which kernels work for which type of student. So anyway, we're going to be doing more with our PAX Heroes next year. But this also, I think, is a great next step for our staff. First-year data. This is, Mr. Gallagher helped me with this, office referrals for Raymond. Last year I had 54. This year we were down to 43, a 20.4% decrease in our office referrals. So it's working. You know, we're not there yet. You know, and I don't know that it'll ever be zero. That would be nice. But, you know, it's definitely working. Some of the SRSS data that we collect, this is kind of the data that the teachers input and collect. Third grade externalizing behaviors, I know it's hard to see and I apologize, but our spring of last year to winter of this year, we're up almost to 80%, and we in the green, meaning that those almost 80% of our children are not exhibiting any of the externalizing behaviors that might, those are more like maybe cheating, stealing, some of those outward behaviors that we want to make sure that we're dealing with and taking care of. But we're definitely seeing an increase in the students that aren't demonstrating those behaviors. Our second grade class looked at our internalizing behaviors. So students that maybe are anxious, sad, depressed, those kinds of kids, we're seeing, and you can see the green for our second grade from spring to winter of this year, definitely an increase. So we want them in the green. That's the good thing. So it's working. It's definitely having a positive impact. next steps. We want to continue to refine that Tier 1 implementation of PACS, continue to identify those obstacles for students who continue to struggle, and then also finding those kernels and finding those techniques that are going to work for those particular kids. And just like I said, continuing to learn how to select those Tier 2, Tier 3 strategies that are going to build upon that PACS knowledge. And in addition, I want to train the classified staff next year. We were able to train the librarian, but I want to train the office staff, and then I would also like to train our custodians. Mm-hmm. They're picking it up through osmosis, really, mm-hmm. But I would like for them to also go through that training because I think that's a missing piece for us, so that they can also, you know, use that language and hopefully understand it's not just PACS Quiet. Sometimes mm-hmm. people feel like, you know, PACS is just PACS Quiet. Well, there's a lot more to it. The harmonica is lovely, and I love my gold one, but there's more to it than that, for sure. So I wanted to also open it up to my lovely ladies that attended. Do you guys have anything that you would like to share as well?
I would just like to share, Carol, that you have done an amazing job of supporting us. It's nice to hear that we've done a good job, but we can't do that without you.
Absolutely.
And we can't do that without the incredible staff that you have. What we did at Raymond this year was so easy.
Oh, good.
It was just so easy because you were totally on board. Your staff was willing to come along. We had a good, strong start, and it just went after that. So I want to thank you very much for making our success very, very easy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're
welcome. Thank you. When I did Kernels for Life, and then I came in the next morning, dropped something off, I think it was on harmonica, and there sits Carol at her desk filling out Popsicle Sticks. So she's already using the strategies not 12 hours after she went home from being there, and that just speaks volumes. I think that we were so... What happened at Edgewood was so amazing that we were excited to expand it, but... cautiously optimistic that it may not be as, you know, straight out the gate, and boy, you just blew us out of the water.
Oh,
we're so,
so
grateful for your support in making this a success. So we have just some really stellar PACS schools in Marysville schools, and we're so excited about it.
And it was great to have Tom as well, to be able to call and, you know, just have another principal to partner with. And I will say, I have been promoting to the other principals as well. You know, it's great. If you can go building-wide, do it. Because that did make, I truly believe that made the difference for us. So thank you so much. I do appreciate that. But the teachers are wonderful. They've embraced it for sure. So, questions?
Yeah, on the parent component, how often do you get or offer an opportunity for parents to come in?
So,
and second kind of question is there a sense of the percentage of parents that are responsive to this?
Good questions. So we are happy to host PACS Schools training anywhere at any time.
I've had your occupants in my car, right?
We can do it right now.
Yeah, if I can. So Carmen and I are happy to do that. The model that we've used for the past several years is to host those trainings after open houses. So we'll promote those with flyers, and then we do one per school that's full PACS implementation. And so, for example, there'll be one here, one at Edgewood. If a Raymond parent wants to go to Edgewood or North Union or Fairbanks, they're welcome to do that. So we offer a lot of those. It's very saturated in August, September, October. But we're happy to host another one mid-year. We have also had great success hosting those in January or February, surprisingly, because it's not always nice weather. So now that we have, we've kind of saturated the market. In the past 2 years, we've had about almost 2,000 people trained in Union County.
In the last 2 years, 2,000 just in Union County.
So, but as we have a new wave of kindergarten classrooms coming in, again, we'll offer those in the fall. If you have parents who say, I missed it, can we do another one in January? Absolutely. Happy to be here and do that.
The other thing that's often is happening in our community with PACS Schools is there's another layer
that we don't always talk about, and that's for other professionals. So we have a lot of folks serving, a lot of youth workers in our community serving kiddos who aren't necessarily school teachers or parents. So we have a very large faith community in Union County. We've done a lot of outreach with our faith-based community, our daycare centers, our preschools, really trying to hit early childhood, as well as recognizing we have kids with some behavioral issues that need addressed, and we're not necessarily getting parents to the appropriate parenting classes, so we use PACS tools on the other end as an intervention for some of our older kids. So sometimes we're doing that with our youth clinicians, sometimes we're teaching those strategies to youth probation officers. So we really, yeah, the Mental Health and Recovery Board invested thousands of dollars in really making this our universal prevention strategy, whether we're talking about our systems, system-wide, whether we're talking about children's services, our court systems, obviously our schools, and then also at home. So the idea behind PACS, whether we're talking PACS tools or we're talking about PACS schools, is one, creating a situation where we have a reliable, consistent adult, and we're really extending that idea of a nurturing environment. And Carol has just absolutely encapsulated that in her presentation tonight. It's I think our most successful implementations when we look nationwide are those schools who really begin to think about this beyond a tier one, tier two intervention and really begin to understand the spirit of PACS, and when we begin to meet the individual social emotional needs of our kiddos, they're really able to be successful in our PACS environments. Mm-hmm. So hats off to you, Carol. Thank you.
In answer to the second part of your question about how many parents come, I would say that those numbers are lower. I don't have the exact numbers, but what we see is that there are some parents who have kids in multiple schools, so they're coming and really representing multiple schools at one time, and there are also some parents that come back. They will come, and then they will come to a training again because it's working, but they want to refresh themselves. So while I don't have data about how many parents have kids who've had classrooms and are then coming, we do know that this is, and I can speak from my professional experience in prevention work, this is the most successful community prevention program I have ever done, to have parents come out on weeknights and weekends to come to this program.
Yeah, I would have expected the attendance would not be overwhelming, because it is a significant thing. Thank you.
Sometimes we have 10 people, and sometimes we have 62 people, and those are real Marysville numbers. We were just in the, like, just squished together in the Marysville Library in March time. We had 32 people there. So I'll take 32 people on a Saturday morning because there are 100 other things to do on a Saturday morning. So, and again, I think that's a testament to the kind of community we've created. When it's about kids, our community typically rises to the occasion.
And you have to figure that when those 32 parents come, they're talking to other parents too. You know, so that's kind of spreading that word. And so, yeah, good job. Did you have a?
What's that word, spleen? Is
that a word? It's a made-up word.
Is that a made-up word?
It really is. It's just a behavior that we don't want to see. So rather than...
I have other words for that.
Yeah. Other than, it's not a bad behavior. You know, it's just a behavior we don't want to see as much of.
Everybody spleens.
That's right.
We used to call that, you're being inappropriate right now.
Spleening.
Yeah. That sounds better, doesn't it?
Mr. Luke, the idea is that it's a nonsense word, so while kids may have some negative associations with things like no, stop it, knock it off, or even just their name, like my son, if I say second, he associates that with I'm in trouble. So spleen is a nonsense word. In fact, when you say spleen, you smile naturally the way the word ends. So it's a way of identifying a behavior as a behavior that's undesirable without using all those words that typically are charged with emotion.
Do the kids use that with each other then after a while?
Oh, yeah, they know. Yeah, the good behavior game, they keep track of spleens, and so the goal is not to get, we want to see how many teams can
I'm
going to
try this with
fewer.
My teams at home. I'll let you know how it goes.
I love it.
I'll let you know in the next training. And I honestly say I have a fourth grader here, and she came home today, and fourth grade right now is, done. They're just kind of having fun, and she came home today, and she's like, Mom, there's many spleenings going on. So,
spleening kind of
it's a
I mean, okay, they were being addressed, don't get me wrong. Yeah. It wasn't just a free-for-all, mm-hmm. but, you know.
Yeah, there were many screens going on, but,
but I think that that speaks to Carol talking about getting the classified staff and support staff trained, because there is a unique language that goes along with PACS. And there's definitely a benefit to all of the staff understanding what does it mean that you have a spleen.
For sure. And we did have the seniors in today, so today was a,
like I
for
said,
a clap out.
Right.
So it was
off
a, it was an off day.
Right. You could have seen one that today. That would have been wonderful. Right.
Thank you.
You brought a few tears to people's eyes, but it was
oh, yeah. Oh, good.
That song was amazing.
It wasn't it? Yeah.
So is.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I just want to say I attended the.
I know.
just because I wanted to get a little deeper understanding of what it was about, and I thought that you guys did an absolutely wonderful job. But I thought it was very wonderful how the people in the room were sharing their stories with each other and kind of building their knowledge back and forth with each other. And it was all different kinds of people. It was people working with youth groups, it was people babysitting, it was juvenile youth authorities, it was a lot of different groups of people in the rooms. So you did a really wonderful job.
Thank you for that. Those are always the most exciting trainings, because there are a lot of dynamics in there, and I think much like PACS, when we talk about PACS tools, the philosophy is really that we're not intended to be the experts in the room. There's some content we're going to teach, but when we can start connecting some evidence-based trauma-informed strategies to people's real-life experiences, we absolutely increase the likelihood that they're going to go ahead and use them. So our goal when we go in and do those trainings is to really make these as palatable and tangible for anyone in the room, connect it to what they know, and then they'll go ahead and use it.
And
Catherine
sounds
like good support, too. Mm-hmm. Amongst families,
mm-hmm.
you know, that, you know, some of them may feel singled out if they have a child that has some issues or whatever, but then when they come together like that, that they can, you know, draw off of one another as well.
So to really address that, we've done sort of two things. One, we've made sure that just like our educators have partnering opportunities, we make some funding available to Catherine through the board to make sure that families who want a PACS partner have access to Catherine. As you can imagine, you take advantage of that, but it's available.
Right.
The other thing is it's a very different message. Unfortunately, as effective as we know parent education is, it's stigmatized. There must be something broken about you if you're going to that. We've really sort of made it a social norm in this community. This is how we do things at school. It's working well at school. Let's show you how to do the same strategy that's so effective at school in your own home. So, it didn't happen overnight, but we've really been able to sort of do some of that social norming in our county.
But the way it was delivered, Catherine does an amazing job because she's real. You know, she talks about her frustrations with, if you don't mind me sharing, but, you know, as a parent, and I get frustrated, and I've said this, and then you feel like, oh, good. It's not just me, you know. So.
And then they see me out in public with my kids, like, oh, she is real.
I wasn't going to say that. Great. Well, thank you so much.
And it's pretty obvious why they are your partner of the year, so
yes,
thank
exactly.
you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mrs. Smart. Right, I don't think we had any.
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Yes, yeah, so we did, we have just some public. You didn't want to say anything?
No.
Okay, but you are guests here tonight, so it looks like it's Dan and Noah. And your last name?
Stowell,
okay. And you are here tonight for? Do you have to be here for some project?
Yeah, for a
scout
project.
Okay, scout project. Well, welcome. Hope you're having a great time. Thank you. All right, then, next up on our agenda, we have our High Point report. Ms. Savage.
Okay. Graduation from High Point and Bellefonte will be at Bellefonte High School. They made the call today because of the rain. They're going to have it at Bellefonte High School, 6 p.m., Wednesday, May 22nd. I attended some of the internship presentations at the Early College High School. They were wonderful presentations. I think we watched six students sign their letter of intent to enter the workforce. So they were given job offers at the end of their internship, which I think was absolutely wonderful and something to be celebrated. High Point, we discussed the five-year forecast, which of course we're doing here too. There's a lot of uncertainty with the five-year forecast, particularly from a vocational school point. So we'll keep our ears tuned and get a little bit more specific about that later. Reviewed the design plans for the renovation of the interior and the exterior of the building. So the $30 million for renovation of the High Point facility. They've got a little ways to go, so they're looking at starting construction in 2020. Also, eighth grade students from Marysville, as well as other districts, toured High Point facility, see if it would be an alternative location that they would like to attend. And then Sue and I also attended the open house, all boards open house, which we got some wonderful food. The appetizers were wonderful. But also, it was very exciting to see young people in jobs like construction or people going into the beauty industry. They were very hands-on. They were very enthusiastic about their career choices. And in construction, for example, a couple of those internships had already signed on and were working for Thomas Marker in high school with full-time jobs coming right after. So, big gap in the technical fields right now. So, many industries are looking for students to be drawn in that direction. So in light of that, they're going to be launching a campaign to help attract people to the trade businesses. So look forward to seeing that. They're going to launch that this summer using some of their students to move forward. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Superintendent's report.
All right, we're going to start. As you know, every year we give you an update on resource adoption. This year it was math resource adoption. So Chris will be sharing with you guys process and decisions that were made for that adoption cycle. It's kind of funny because math is where we started. I don't know. Sue might remember. The very first one we
right.
completed.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me. I will make this short. I wanted to just start with kind of the process we went through. As you know, I started in the district last year. So when I first got here, we kind of created a timeline. Jonathan spoke to me pretty early on that this was going to be happening, which was exciting for me since, you know, I enjoy math. And that was a really cool thing that we got to start with right out of the gate. But I want to just give you a quick little rundown of what our process was. We created a timeline. Jonathan gave me a lot of guidance with what had happened in the past. And so we then looked at curriculum vetting. We had pilots. We included the teachers in the process the entire time. It was very much personalized, learning driven. And then we had final recommendations that we took back to the team and met with principals to discuss to make sure it was going to fit everyone's needs. The timeline was a little bit different than in past because I was new last year when Jonathan brought it to my attention. When I first got into the district, I noticed what are some of the things we were missing and lacking. So I kind of talked to the principals, I talked to the teachers, I talked to our coaches, specifically instructional coaches, to find out what they needed for math. Because that was one of the reasons when Diane spoke to me about the job that was needed. They needed someone on the math side and on the instructional innovation side that we could bring in the district. So I really got excited about that. I was working a lot at the high school last year, and that was a need there for some interventions that they could use. So we kind of looked at different opportunities. So that process really started in the fall of last year. And then by November, January, we were piloting things. I had groups of teachers doing different things across the district, looking at programs. At the end of the year, I did get feedback from all that, and we kind of eliminated some programs that we had looked at, and we kind of put our finger on a couple we really liked. And so then this year, actually the spring of last year, I identified a team, a core team of people that was going to work with us, with coaches and administrators in the district, so we could look at more of the curriculum, which began in the fall of 2018 when we started really vetting, and we expanded some of those pilots at that point too. So we looked at the programs we wanted, and then we started with the pilots, getting teachers' feedback and trials through them. Finally, in the spring, we went through everything. We found out that what we liked and how they met the needs, and we made our final recommendations. So basically, what I wanted to talk about quickly is just how we looked at the programs. Last year when we started, I looked at the needs of what the teachers were asking for, what the coaches were asking for, and what the district was kind of lacking. And then through that, I went through Ed Reports, and basically we looked at the top programs. What I heard last year from a lot of people were the programs we were using, we had purchased the last time, weren't being used, and that people didn't necessarily like them as much, and they weren't meeting the needs of our students with our personalized learning vision than what we were doing in the district. So I really relied a lot on Ed Reports, which is a nonprofit organization that goes through and vets programs. So I would pick the top three. I would take them to teachers, and we would look at them, and they would have options of which ones they wanted to use. They always had their hands in the process, going through and looking at the programs, giving me feedback the entire time. We ran pilots. Some were bigger than others. Some pilots, we had a whole year pilot with one of our programs that we used at Bunsell to meet the needs of their diverse math students. They were looking for differentiation, so we used that. We expanded our pilot at the high school with another math program we were using. So really, we had a lot more kids involved in it than we did in the past. Again, the teacher input was critical because they're the ones using it. So we want to make sure it's easy to use and that it's functional in their classroom. But really, the personalized learning also was, at the end of the day, that was almost like the tiebreaker. They all were really good programs of what we wanted, and most of them did personalized learning really well. But we were looking for the ones that did it the best. So the teachers weren't coming back and saying, I'm not using this program anymore. Mm-hmm. The teachers were involved in the sense that we went to the department meetings, I talked to them, I asked for requests. We had the coaches go out and in their buildings, survey the teachers, ask what they wanted. Obviously, we can't give everything that everyone wants. It's not possible. It would be nice if we could. And we went through the coaches that way, department meetings. I would go in to work with buildings specifically that I knew needed more of my support, and so I could hear them directly. And then, obviously, again, the personalized learning needs. That was always part of the process from the teachers. What did they need to personalize learning for their students? What that ended up doing is we then had these driving factors that determined what we were going to do. And this is the core curriculum was important, obviously. We wanted a core curriculum for all K-12 that when it was necessary, when it was needed. Some people didn't need anything because they were fine. What they were doing was working. We have been using iReady, obviously, in the district, K-8. And so that was something that we wanted to make sure. We looked at some different versions. iReady's coming up with some newer things, different things. But we settled on what we have because it's working really well. And we didn't want to move away from that. And so we stayed with that. The thing for me, which was really important, which I noticed was a hole, was the supplemental curriculum. So really having that tier 2 interventions inside the classroom. We don't have math interventions in the district, so there's nobody who's going to go in and pull kids out or go in and push in and work with kids for interventions. So we need to provide that support for the classroom teacher. So that was something I looked into. We found a couple of really good ideas. We piloted those things, and we ended up recommending purchasing of those products. One of the interesting things, when we got to that, like the teachers really had that, they really drove that for me. It wasn't me going in and saying, do this. I gave them choices, and their feedback was what allowed us to decide, okay, this is what we're going to use, and using that personalized learning lens. That was critical in our decisions. We were able to do that also kind of lighten the iReady load because we were hearing from teachers and from students that having that iReady in second grade all the way through eighth grade, we weren't really using it at K-1 yet. Though last year we did dabble in a little bit where teachers could get on, they asked for it. We had heard that there was maybe a little bit of burnout. And so we wanted to provide options at the upper levels 7th and 8th grade, where it's still being used, and at the lower levels, K-1, where they may not be ready quite for iReady yet, we would use the diagnostics still. They still have the option. So really providing those choices and menus for students, which goes into the personalized learning part of it. So that was huge, and I was really happy that we were able to achieve that. So the two things that made me the most happy was that we did find those Tier 2 supports in the classroom for differentiation, but also providing choices for our students and for our teachers. So it's not always the same thing, and there's that burnout should be addressed for us. One of the things I always look for when I'm looking for programs is the adaptive nature. Whether it's, you know, if it's a blended learning program, we want to make sure it's adaptive. We want to make sure there's diagnostic data or some sort of data coming out of it, because that supports our personalized learning. All the programs we did, they fit those needs for us really well. And then having that online experience, but then really having that offline experience. We don't want kids on computers all day long, but they need to have, teachers need to have resources they can pull out and they can use in those classrooms, and everything we chose supports that. And then, obviously, like I said before, it all came down to personalized learning, and they all fit the bill, and they all did a really good job with that. And I think when I've talked to the team and I've talked to the principals, I think everyone felt like they were satisfied. That's it. Hopefully that was short. Do you guys have any questions?
So what is the program that you picked?
We have different ones. I have a slide for that. I didn't know if you wanted to see that.
I'm just curious.
Would you like to see the slide? I kept it back in case. So this is what we ended up doing. We chose iReady. So that's going to continue. That was there was a lot of positive feedback on that. And we chose different products at different levels depending on what the teachers wanted. I really wanted their voice. And so Envisions is a product that's being used for some algebra courses at BMS. We have Discovery Math Tech book that's being used at algebra courses in the high school. And so they're not using the same. And the teachers asked me, do I have to pick the same? And I was like, no, I mean, it would be easier for me if you did, but no, you don't. We want to personalize it, so, and we want our students to be able to have the best, and so we let them do that. We didn't really buy any textbooks. The only textbooks we bought were the pre-calc textbooks, because they had old textbooks, and they needed new ones, and they were really old, and so that was all they wanted, which made me happy, because I didn't want to buy a bunch of consumables that we know are going to go away and become outdated. We got the other two. Our other three there are basically your intervention pieces and your supplemental pieces. Albert is a product that's being used at the high school for calculus, pre-calc. Alex is going to be used at the high school for all math students, but the beauty of that, it's adaptive, and so it can be used for intervention, it can be used for gifting, and so it stretches that way. It's a very interesting program, and it's research-based. Really powerful program. And ST Math is the one that we're going to kind of use down below at K-1. It is a gamified supplemental math program that doesn't use language. ST stands for spatial temporal math. And so it looks at, it turns math on its head is what it does. And so kids who are struggling readers or just K-1, those kids are just learning how to read. This allows them to access math without the language being a barrier. We also have it, so it's going to be intervention 2 through 4. So we can use it there. And then Alex becomes that intervention piece or that enrichment piece for our kids from 5th grade and above. So those are them.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Adaptive, in essence, if I log in and take the assessment, that it creates a learning path for me different than a learning path for Todd, for example. So it's individualized by function of how a student answers questions, which is important to know.
And the Alex program, and specifically that program, is not only adaptive there, but like if you have it in your classroom, you have 25 students, they all have their own personalized path that they're on. If you were to, and they have printables, if you were to want a printable to take offline where kids can show their work, each kid would get a very different looking printable. Which, I mean, it's for me, when you look at programs like that, the Holy Grail is adaptive diagnostic. All the data you can get so that kids are really being truly personalized. You know, it's not easy to do.
So how much time then are we anticipating that kids are going to be on programs and classrooms?
So that's a good question. So like iReady program itself recommends, oops, I should probably take that out of my pocket. The iReady program itself recommends just 45 minutes a week. And we ask teachers, like, not to focus on time. If you get on 30 minutes a week, the data shows that you will make growth from the program. And so with the Alex program, it's just about weekly finishing your topics. So the, what Alex recommends is 10 topics per week, 10 topics learned. You could do that in 5 minutes, or it may take you 25 minutes, or it may take you an hour. It really depends, but it can be done anywhere. So in the classroom, there's no, like, we don't require any sort of, you must do this program for this amount of time. It's more like, how do you want to use it? Because of all of the programs, the data that comes out of it really should be driving the instruction in the classroom. And when we look at Alex specifically, or iReady, we really want that to help kids either move them past or fill in the gaps that they have in math instruction. So the classroom teacher is using that one-on-one, small group instruction time. That's the beauty of the program.
So with some of these being new, how are we going to train the teachers how to use the...
Yep. So all of them come with professional development. So I'm working with the principals right now to figure out how we're going to put the PDs in the schools for the teachers. So we made sure we had all of that, ST Math, the Alex program. The Alex program actually has a lot of webinars online, and their teachers were using it this year. And actually, I know how to use it really well, so I will be there also supporting them. Discovery, same thing. Pearson, it's all part of the package.
Can I say something about the iReady? And just because my daughter was using it in fourth grade with Mrs. Goodman and Mrs. And they actually have them do in a week, you know, 2 to 3 iReady on their own or in the classroom. And she did. And she just got her latest diagnostic 2 days ago. And I don't know if, I'm sure it's a culmination of, you know, the teacher and learning and the iReady. But she really enjoyed the iReady. She liked it, which for her was a good thing. Reading, she excelled at. Math was her, you know, that was one that she not struggled, but did not do as well. But she just got her latest diagnostic back, and she was thrilled to show it to me, which is huge for her. And she went from an early 4 to a late 4, and then geometry of early 5. So, you know, she enjoyed the iReady.
Yeah.
And then the D's take the place of the teacher. I mean, we've said that over and over again. They aid the instruction of what's happening and really allows the teacher to personalize at higher levels. So being able to do that small group instruction with a group of learners, you just wouldn't maybe see the typical classroom that maybe you or I experienced row and file with the teacher in front. But we would expect to see more of a workshop model, where teachers are working with students directly in small group, and other students being able to work on individual goals as well at the same time. So it's just, to me, it's another toolbox for a teacher to cash in on, or tool in the toolbox for the teacher.
I just wanted to clarify that workshop model is kind of what we're going for.
One of the things that
100%.
Right. No, it's never been that push. It's always the workshop model.
Yeah, one of the things that actually makes me uncomfortable when I walk in the classroom, you see every kid with their computer up. That's not what we want to see. I want to see kids on computers, but I want to see teachers working in small groups. That computer should be your co-teacher in the classroom, supporting so the teacher can work more individually or small group with the students. And these programs all provide that for us.
My question was, if you've got a classroom and all the kids have individual pathways that they're working on, does the teacher have the ability to get real-time monitoring of where the students are?
Yep, so they can pull up their data, and they can see exactly what they've done for that day. They can see how many lessons they were successful on. Some of them, like the Alex program, will actually show you exactly what they did right or what they did wrong. So you can look at that, and you can give them feedback immediately. They're all real-time data. That's extremely important. Have the data, but also have it in real-time so you can see that. That way you can work with groups and you can find out, you can pinpoint exactly what you need to do for those students to help.
I'm sitting here thinking, you know, if Carol was on the computer and I could find out what she was working on and I saw she was having some difficulty, I could get up and go and say, hey, you seem to be having some difficulty in this area. Let me offer you a suggestion, you know, what question would you have?
Now, each one's a little different. You know, some of, like, a lot of these programs are going to be based, a lot of it's going to be offline. So, like, the iReady program, the huge part of the curriculum is all paper pencil offline. Okay, it's just that learning path that's online. ST Math, you can see specifically what she's doing when she's doing it. You can pull it up, and you can actually see the moves that she's done. And the same with the Alex. You can pull that up, and you can look at that and see where the students have answered the questions correctly or not. Each one's a little bit different. You're not going to be able to pull it up and say, okay, I can see exactly what they're doing. Yeah. But you can get that immediate feedback.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So is it possible as the curriculum and so on changes that, and we have it more and more years in the district, and the materials sound like they're improving too, that we'll have high school kids ready for more advanced math than we've ever had before, like by say junior or senior year, that we might actually need to expand into whatever comes after calculus or whatever, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, so that's like a lot of these programs, they're going to do that for us. They'll extend beyond. So when our kids get there, like especially the Alex or the Albert, when we look at the high school programs, and even when I looked at, we look at the Discovery Math Tech book, that also has reach, and it also goes down too. It has that flexibility so we can meet the kids where they need to be met. Because I didn't want to just say, okay, here's your algebra, you're stuck in that. No, we want to be flexible and give them options, you know, inside and out that. And so with those programs, they have that stretch so they can go farther.
Like how far?
With Alex at the high school, which is what the program we use at the high school, that goes all the way to college. Uh-huh. So there's college curriculum in there. And when you purchase it, the license, you could literally start at a third grade level because that's where the program starts, and you could go all the way into college.
Okay.
With one license, if you were able to do that in 1 year, I mean, I don't know who could do that, but it is possible.
So I remember when I was in school, this is a while ago, it seemed like we did the same things, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, and, you know, and I got the impression that some kids could have done a lot more math by senior year than we actually were.
And some kids will want to do it. Like with the Alex program, if it's being used for intervention purposes, we'll get kids who will speed through all of their intervention, and they'll get to where they need to be in that class, which may be a 2-year gap that they have in math, but they've done that in 6 months.
Yeah.
And then they can continue to go. Again, it's the kid's choice how they want to do it and how they want to work through that, because we never want them on there the entire time. We don't want that to be a replacement for the teacher, ever. It can't be. It's not going to be effective. Because what happens with most of these programs, if the teacher walks away, they fail. They stop working. Mm-hmm. All of them will stop working. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to be beneficial for anyone. Okay. Any other questions?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Other items. Just have a few reminder graduation this weekend for everyone. I think I've distributed parking passes. I think we left one at your spot.
Got it.
Okay. It does start at 7 o'clock. And... Vera would like everyone there, you know, 5:15, 5:30-ish, I would say. And everything will be marked where to go with marker boards, so you shouldn't have any difficulties. It's been a very exciting kind of past couple weeks, exhausting, but lots of great stuff going on. I think it's already been mentioned. We had walkouts at several of the elementaries for our graduating students. We've had senior awards, we've had mentorship luncheons, we had academic signings, school to work signings. Last Friday, 9 of our early college students received their college diploma, actually 8 days before their high school diploma, so that was great. So elementaries are gearing up for field day, so it's just kind of that wrap-up time of the year. Also wanted to remind everyone that we had principal for the day. I guess it was just Monday, but it really does seem like last week, right? But we had members from the community who shadow our principals for the morning, and then we come collectively for lunch and talk about their day and experience. And I think I forwarded the board a list of people who are participating, and really the feedback was amazing. Some of the visitors got to experience an MTSS process at Mill Valley, I think. And she just could not believe the level of knowledge and understanding that teachers and people had about students. And also Whitehall actually was there that day watching our MTSS process. So it was very positive. We'll continue to do that every year, get good feedback on that. And it's just really a way to open our doors and let mm-hmm. community members be an ambassador of our work. So we are pleased with that. Today, this week, we had, I said, visitors from Whitehall. We had visitors from Akron and also Defiance School District. And also today, we were able to share a couple hours with Senator Lehner and talk about early literacy. Mm-hmm. Also, we were able to share our journey in personalized learning and do some tours of Northwood, which was very, very successful. Our leadership team, Chris, myself, Ashley, Steve, and Mark Gallagher were all able to sit and have those conversations with her. And she actually challenged us to write legislation for early intervention with dyslexia. So that will be on Steve's desk and already started, I'm confident. So it was a very positive visit as well. And I'm sure there's more things, but it's been a crazy couple weeks, so.
Any questions? Okay. Treasurer's report.
On the agenda tonight, we have the May 5-year financial forecast that I presented last month at the board meeting. There's no changes to what was presented, but we do have kind of an update on our state foundation funding, and it's still... still a lot of variables in there, a lot of things that would happen, but the most up-to-date information we have on that, the governor, his proposed changes to state funding were to include a kind of a bump in revenue for what they're calling the Student Wellness and Success Funds. Mm-hmm. And with his original budget, the simulations say for next year we would get an additional $230,000. And fiscal year 21, we would get an additional $276,000, so that would go up by $46,000. The House actually just, you know, that the governor's version goes to the House, and so they've since approved that. It's probably a week or two ago. And with their version, they actually increased those funds. So based on the House's version, in year one, in fiscal year 20, next year, we would get $293,000, and in fiscal 21, we'd get $418,000. So that's an increase of $63,000 next year and an additional $141,000 the following year. Still, you know, that only means so much because that still has to go to the Senate. But at least in the meantime, that's some potential good news, and, you know, hopefully that means that our projections for state funding it could be conservative. So, mm-hmm.
great.
That's
anything
it.
Else? Okay. Let's see. For my report, you already mentioned that we had a community copy this past Saturday, and we did not have anybody attend. And I know this is a busy time of year, but hopefully our community knows that they can. They don't have to just wait for a community copy. They can always contact us, but. If you have something and you're out on a Saturday morning, the Saturday before our meeting, come and see us. Let's see. Last month, Nan, Dick, and I attended the Board Leadership Institute. I had a few notes on that. I don't know if either of you had anything that you wanted to share from BLI or not.
Yeah, I know that a lot of the sessions that I attended provided some really good information. I sent a note to Diane about one presentation was particularly meaningful, and it's always, you always learn some new things and gain different perspectives.
Yep. Do you have anything you wanted to comment on, Nan?
I'm going to go with no.
What's that?
I'm going to go with no.
Okay.
I went for a presentation talking about ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, and I think we have a population within Marysville schools that have a very high ACE score, and that the presentation was basically giving some resources to districts to help them develop their own answer to that problem. So I have some notes I'll type up and send to the board, and Diane also about, you know, some ideas or some resources that potentially we could find useful.
Okay. Good. I know I went to one that was talking about leading together, and it was really Battelle's group that's focused on personalized learning. And as I sat there, I realized that it really could have just been an overview of our district, because some of the things they talked about were teaching questions versus answers, learning versus grades, project presentations versus recognizing top academic performance, using knowledge to solve problems versus learning facts. And I think kind of the thing that just hit me at the end, they just encouraged the board to convey our support of this new educational format to both our staff, teachers, and our community. So, you know, just kind of a reminder for us when we're out there to just talk about some of the great things that are going on in the district and that we fully support it. You know, so that was kind of the point on that. I went to one on assessing district's financial health, and that was, just wanted to say something. Dick Nan and I had attended a workshop on this earlier in the year, and some of the suggestions that we gave them, they had taken into consideration, but this Public Finance Resources has an online resource for anyone who that they can access information showing the financial health of any district in Ohio. So, other than that, I think it was... It's always good to go there and you know, either get some ideas or just have some confirmation that what we're doing is pretty amazing here. So let's see. Other than that, I just wanted kind of a shout out to Tammy Cooper again. Those internship luncheons were amazing, and I know there were students from regular Marysville High School and the Early College High School that talked about some of their internship opportunities, and what a win-win for everybody. I mean, these employers were so excited to be working with these students and so complimentary of the work that the students did. And the students gave great presentations, you know, kind of gave a little history of themselves and then explained what they were able to do and how a lot of these internships kind of helped them decide what they want to do either in college or in the workforce. And it was wonderful. Really impressive. So shout out to them. And that's really all I have. So legislative report, Mr. Smith.
I sent the legislative report to each of you. The big news is, as was mentioned, that the House passed a biennial budget, sent that to the Senate, so we'll see what happens there. Identified in the report that I sent to you some bills that have been acted on in the legislature. One of interest to teachers is the Senate passed Senate Bill 26. The bill permits teachers to deduct from their state income tax up to $250 for out-of-pocket expenses for the classroom, which is not enough. Senate Bill 102 is the bill that Peggy Lever has introduced, and the one that she's asked for some input on in that area. And so that was nice to be able to have a conversation with her about that. There is a concern that as the budget bill went to the Senate, there were three bills that I've either offered testimony in opposition to or talked with Senator Burke and Tracy Richardson about as being really negatives for education in the state of Ohio. They were included in the budget, and so I'll be talking to Senator Burke about that. Those things removed from the budget, Diane mentioned that Senator Lane was here. She was sufficiently impressed that she asked to come back next fall for another visit, and so I've got a message to her staff to try to begin selecting a date. And I think that is validation that there are a lot of very good things going on in our school district, that we are ahead of and tend to stay ahead of where other school districts are. And it's nice that we can have somebody, Sandra Lehner's the chair of the education, the Senate Education Committee, and she drives a lot of education legislation, responsible for almost all of the educational laws in large matters. And she was very, very impressed with what she saw. Thanks to all of the staff, all the teachers, everybody, and all the hard work that's gone into moving this district forward. And that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for sending that report, too. All right. Mrs. Powers, anything for the safety report?
I'm going to recap on some of our kids have done. On April 22nd, the Youth Action League, the high school students presented to city council regarding raising the age to purchase tobacco products at the age of 21. So we had students that went in to the thing. DEA drug take-back day on the 27th netted 254 pounds of prescriptions.
Wow.
On April 30th, the We Are the Majority rally took 16 students from Bunsold and Fairbanks to Columbus to the rally. Prom and graduation stickers, I don't know if you got to see these, but these are so cool that were done up. Eight area businesses and all three high schools participated in promoting a safe prom and graduation. Ridgewood Bank and Ridgewood sponsored a prom promise initiative, giving students who took the pledge a free cup of coffee. May 8th, the drug-free community support grant was released for application, so that will give us a potential of $125,000 for up to 5 years, but it does require a match. So I assume they're working on that now. May 9th, Faith Community Conference, 15 participants, very engaged conversations, very interested in alcohol and drug as well as mental health resources. The Rotary sponsored breakfast for the above this influence students at Bunsold, and there were 6 Rotarians and 30 students who attended. May 14th, the Youth Action League banquet busted out the walls with middle school students and their families. The high school students did an excellent job of carrying off the event. So that's the latest update.
Lots of good stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Next on the agenda, I'd accept a motion to approve our draft minutes from both our last month's regular meeting and the April 15th special meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second
by Mr. Smith. Any questions, corrections, comments? Okay, roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on the agenda, I accept a motion to approve the treasurer action items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith?
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers.
The only thing I think might jump out on there is on the appropriations. We're increasing our permanent improvement fund appropriations. That is for fiscal year 20 projects. So the fiscal year 20 budget technically starts July 1, but to get those projects moving in time in the summer so they'll be ready for school next year, we need to increase that now so they can kind of dip into those funds ahead of time.
Okay. All right. No questions? And roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on the superintendent items, it has been brought to my attention that I'd like to make a motion to have a separate motion for one, it's summer teaching, I think.
Yes.
Yes, so Amber Powers. I'd like to pull that one out and have a separate motion on that one. But I'd like to make that motion. Do I have a second for that?
Second.
Okay. roll call on pulling her out. Yes, I don't know. If I make a motion in a second, yes, on removing her as a separate one.
Okay. Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. So we will act on that, on approving Amber Powers as a employee high school summer school staff.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mr. Luke. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Abstain.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you. Now I would accept a motion to accept all the other superintendent items.
So
moved. Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Okay. There's a lot on there. Yeah, I know.
So
there's a
I'll
lot.
I'll highlight, but I'll also entertain any questions that you have, of course.
Right.
HR items, so we even talked last month, hiring a new staff. I'd just like to highlight Ryan Walker switching from athletic director to director of operations. We're still in the process of replacing the athletic director position, and would anticipate having that on the June agenda. We also have contracts for classified. There are pages of volunteers. Remember, field day is this month, so it always upset, and I think there's four pages. Under, we have some first read policies on there as well. Additionally, we have the list of graduates for this school year. Remember, that's making sure that they have met all the requirements that they need to as well. There's a resolution for roof at Edgewood, and also some fees on there as well, school fees for next school year. So wrapping up one and starting into the next.
Okay. Any questions or comments?
Yes, I'd like to mention that all the projects that we're approving, and ones that we've approved in the past and ones looking for the future, we have a separate permanent improvement fund, and that fund, our projections go out to 2030. As having sufficient money in there to do all of the work projects. And the buses and the roofs and the general maintenance, all of those are all included in that and are all scheduled.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The list of graduates, what are we voting on for that? Those are the ones that you've already vetted for?
That's up to, we ask you to approve those annually, so at this point, that should be a secure list. But we always make the condition that if something happened, that someone didn't make it, that they would be removed. And I think it says pending completion of requirements.
And I know in looking through some of those first read policies, as a reminder, we have a month now to review those. And if we have any questions, we can always ask those before they would be on the agenda next month to approve. But I did on one of them, DH, it talks about an option for liability insurance versus bond insurance for our treasurer. And I just was curious what the difference is between the two and if you could.
Yeah. That was brought about by a change in law. So that's just new legislation that actually created, in the past, schools were required to have, school treasurers required to have a bond, which is basically saying if whether through fraud or theft or just an error that there was a mistake that caused the district to lose money, that basically the school would be held harmless and the bonding company would then go after the treasurer to get that money back. They've created this legislation that now allows a district to, in lieu of purchasing a bond, you can purchase liability insurance. So in essence, it's still something to hold the school district harmless against some type of an act that would harm the district. What we've done with this policy is give the district the option to do either or. Right now, it's kind of unknown what that liability insurance would look like because it's new. I don't even know if there's any insurance companies out there offering us that yet. But this policy will give us the option, you know, whether it be a year or two down the road, to look at, you know, is there a cost difference? Is there a benefit? It just kind of will give us the flexibility.
Okay, thank you. The only other one I wanted to point out, it was IKA was talking about grading systems, and it just made me think about when we had our special meeting, Diane gave us all books, Grading for Equity, and that policy really speaks to having the flexibility to have a variety of types of grading system. But anyways, I just thought I thought that was interesting to hear that, and I hope everybody's reading. I'm only, I think, to page 34, but it's very.
Remember, I highlighted areas for you.
Well, I know, so. I know, but it's like I don't want to just skip around.
If
I want
you're
to read
a cover
the whole
to cover
thing.
Person, I get it.
Yeah, and the only other comment, it's like when we read through these policies, it seems like there's a lot of redundancy in there, and I know we did a complete review back in I think 2013, so I don't know at what point. We talk
yeah,
about
so
doing
we can
another
talk
one.
About that in
yeah. Okay. Because that's kind of our deal. So, okay. No other questions? And a roll call?
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Now we're to the comments and questions for board members. So, Mr. Smith.
Well, this is, as was mentioned, an exciting time of year that Raymond has had its fill in the last 48 hours or so of celebrations and more scheduled for tomorrow and next week. So we appreciate all the effort and time that you to host us this evening in the midst of all this organized chaos. It's about to explode. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
And today, was just meeting with Sonia Lehner, walking through classrooms, and she turned and asked a third grader what standard she was working on. The third grader turned and explained the standard and what she was doing to meet that standard and how that standard would meet her overall mastery of that particular skill. That just absolutely capped a wonderful.
And that kid wasn't a plant.
No. Yeah. she had a choice of all 25 kids in the classroom. We got lucky.
Also, thank you very much for hosting. Congratulations to all the retirees. Wishing them all the very, very best in their future endeavors. Just a big shout out to all of our graduating seniors. Congratulations on finishing up your time at Marysville High School, and we wish you all the very best.
Thank you. And today, even though I left with tears in my eyes. I'm excited for the graduation and to, because I know so many kids in this class, and it's just going to be fun to watch them develop and go on to the next part of their life. And if anybody would like any of these stickers, I have them up here that the kids kind of came up with and designed with the Drug Free Coalition. So for graduation and prom.
Thank you.
Well, Saturday is graduation. I have a son who will be up there, and he went to Raymond. I don't remember if he was there then. His name is Blake. Remember?
I think she had
some
of my grandkids too.
So I'm personally excited about that ceremony. And at the same time that most of the kids are looking forward to getting out of school, my daughter, who has been dealing with a health issue and has been out of school since December, returned to school today at the Early College High School for her first day back. So while the other kids were excited about getting out, she was excited about going back. And she spent the day checking in with her teachers to make sure that she is not going to be behind on her program and that she will graduate. And the whole time that she's been out, teachers have come to visit her. and specialists have come, and it makes me so proud of this district and so happy that we're here, that she had that kind of support for this very difficult health issue. And I believe she will be playing in the band at graduation Saturday night. So, So that's the district that we have. That's the schools we have. That's just one example that really touched me personally.
That's great. Nothing to add?
I forgot a stadium update.
Oh, okay.
I was just telling you we're making progress at Bunzold. If you go by, there has been a little bit of drainage work that has started, and the building now has the tar paper, is that what you call it, on top, mm-hmm. and shingles to come. So we are seeing some better progress out there. These rain-free days have been heavenly. The high school project, while it's 2.5 weeks behind-ish, there's not great alarm about making August 15th yet, because they're catching up mm-hmm. with some things. You can certainly see a lot of action at the high school. Mostly at this point, if you've been there, there's a lot of drainage type activity that you'll see. So pleased with that. I would also like to, it's an exciting time, and graduation's amazing for kids, but a lot of work goes into that, and Vera Spencer has been on the forefront and does an amazing job. I can't tell you how much work goes into making that go off without a hitch, and certainly she hasn't been a favorite on Facebook with some families, but I would just like to reiterate the fact that she has represented this district in an incredibly professional fashion, answered questions, been accommodating, and I think she's just a gift to the district and to that building, and just want to make sure that she's recognized.
I second that. Yeah. Want to give her a round of applause. Yes. She does amazing work. Thank you. So, thank you, Mrs. Lentz, for hosting this, for your great presentation, for your gold harmonica. I'm proud of you. And thank you to our partners as well. Thank you to our visitor for being here. I hope you learned a few things. And I also want to thank our retirees, because, we're so blessed with so many amazing people that work in our district, and when you get to that retirement age, we've got one right out there who's come back and helped us, Mrs. Kinsey. we're grateful for them, and we wish them the best. So, with that, how about a motion to adjourn?
So
moved. Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Ms. Sav.